times Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Because of the glory that was manifested, his disciples believed in him. You have to understand the importance of the glory of God. When God was building the Ark of the Covenant, when he was giving the direction to man, he said, this is exactly how I want you to build it. And I've taught you for some time, and you've heard, that glory only follows order. When God sets a specific order that his glory is going to come to, you have to follow it to a T if, in fact, you want his glory to come to you. Glory always follows order. There was a specific manifest. There was a specific direction that he said in building the Ark of the Covenant. There was a specific building plan to building the temple. There was a specific mobilization of the tribes of Israel that would move and the glory would follow them. They would be followed by a cloud by day and fire by night. Every time they would go to battle, the priest would get into their position and carry the Ark of the Covenant into battle. And it would go before the fighters because that was the order that God had established. And they knew that the glory of God was there as long as the blue flame of the Shekinah glory was present between the Ark of the Covenant. There were two cherubims that would face each other, and there was a mercy seat between there. And every time that they saw that the blue flame of God that was put there by God, they knew that the presence of God was with them and that the glory of God was available to them. And you have to understand that every battle that was won in the Old Testament was won based upon the glory following the order that man set, that God set up, that man followed. I want you to go back and research that, look at that, and see if God did not tell his people to follow a specific order and that his glory would come. Now, you have to understand that there are two words, the Hebrew word, which is kabod, which is the weight of God, the weightiness of the glory, and there's a Greek word, which is called doxa, which is another definition for glory that I'm going to give you in just a moment. But every time that the weightiness of God would come, things would happen. It was the glory of the Lord that filled the temple, and the people that were dedicating the temple were not able to minister. It was the glory of the Lord that rumbled on Mount Sinai when Moses was in the presence of God. It was the glory of the Lord that prepared the way in the wilderness by a cloud and by fire. And there was something about the glory of the Lord being in the camp that David understood, that if we can keep this, we can keep victory. If we can keep the glory of the Lord, we can keep victory. And so in Chronicles chapter number 16, David does something that is crazy, and he begins to employ dancers and worshipers and singers 24/7 around the Ark of the Covenant so that every time he looked out his window, he could see the blue flame was still there. I want you to think about that. The music department is one of the hardest working departments in the church. What if we said, hey, 24/7, we're going to work this out? It would freak us out. But David understood something, guys. David understood that if I can keep this blue flame here, then the success that I have enjoyed will never leave me. And the problem is that in America, what the church has done is we've experienced a taste of God's glory, but then we have allowed it to get into human hands, and it's been tarnished. When God sends his glory, it has his DNA on it. And what he does is he entrusts it to people who can make something happen. But what we have done is we have grabbed it with our hands and said, okay, it worked for a minute, but how can we improve upon this? Let me declare to you, you cannot improve upon the glory of God, that when he releases something from heaven, he does it because there is somebody who got in line with his order. There is somebody who got in line with the order of God and allowed himself to be open for God to send his glory. And David realized that if I can get this and I can keep it, then the success that I have had will stay with me forever. The weightiness of God's glory, the Shekinah glory, the cloud, the kabod, the heaviness of God's glory. And so we see that the disciples are watching Jesus at the wedding of Cana of Galilee. And they watch him turn water into wine. He's already called some of them. There's probably about five of them there with him. He's already told some of them, I saw you under a tree, and it blew their mind. And he says, it blows your mind because I saw you under a tree? He said, you ain't seen nothing yet. You're going to see the dead raised. You're going to see the lame walk. And so they begin, I can just see, I don't know about this guy. We'll see. We're going to go with him. He's talking a good game, but let's see what happens. And so he takes him to the wedding, turns water into wine. And it says that the beginning of this sign, he manifested his glory, and the disciples believed. Why did they believe? Because of his glory. Watch this. They believed because of his glory. When you study it out, the same word for kabod, the weight of God's glory in the Old Testament, is the word doxa in the Greek, which has a slightly different meaning. When you get down to about the third definition, it's what we think of, his splendor, his majesty is on display. But the first definition is that it is his view or his opinion. I want you to think about that in light of what they said. That when he manifested his glory, the disciples believed him. Here it is right here. When he manifested his opinion of the situation, the disciples believed him. Did y'all catch that? What was the problem? The problem was that they were out of wine. The problem was that they needed their party to go further, Brother Spurley. And so their opinion was that the party was over. Their opinion was that it was dead, that everybody was going to go home, that nothing else was going to happen, that nothing else could come of this party. But Jesus steps on the scene and says, if I have something to work with, let me manifest my glory. Let me manifest my opinion of the situation. Y'all gonna get this in just a minute. And so he begins to turn water into wine. And the disciples said, now I can see his view of this situation. Now I can see his opinion that the party's not over, that the feast is not done, that this party's not dead, but there's still something to happen. And they begin to view things from the opinion or the view of the glory of God, which was a different opinion. It was a different manifestation than what they believed. What does that have to do with us? We go around day after day after day, and we wonder, how are we going to get through this hell? How are we going to make these bills? How are we going to do this problem? My baby's sick. My marriage is terrible. Everything's going on. But what God is trying to get us to understand is that if we can ever see his glory, if we can ever see his opinion on the situation, it's different than the way I see it. It's different than the way I see it. They saw empty water pots. They saw water, Jesus, but he saw wine. Y'all get that? They saw a party that was over, but he saw a party that was just beginning. The scholars read it and said, this is the end of an age, because all of this symbolic thing that's going on, this is the end of the Jewish life as we know it. And Jesus said, no. I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. I came that you might have life. And so his view of the situation was, there's something that is just beginning. And I prophesy to you today, if you can ever get into the place to where you can see his glory, where you can pay the price to have the opinion and the view of the way that God sees it, he doesn't see babies sick. He sees them healed. He doesn't see abortion. He sees it abolished. He doesn't see homosexual marriage. He sees it as man and woman. He doesn't see an economic collapse. He sees a church that is prospering because they have paid the price to see his view and his opinion. Watch this. Isaiah said that the whole earth is full of what? Your glory. It's full of the weight. It's full of the kabod. That's Old Testament. But if you take that to the New Testament, the whole earth is full of the opinion of God. The whole earth is full of the view of the way that God sees it. And so it gives new weight to when Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit. They'll inherit what? They'll inherit the earth. What are you saying? He's saying that people who are willing to lay their lives down, who are willing to become meek under the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, who are willing to become vulnerable to Him, they'll not just inherit the earth, they'll inherit my opinion of what the earth looks like. Do you understand what I'm saying? He sees an earth that's fruitful. He sees a church that is growing. He sees a church that is on the move. And if we're willing to pay the price, we can get His opinion. The meek shall inherit His perspective, Jesus. Ooh. What did the psalmist David say? He said, you're my glory. You're my shield, my glory, the lifter up of my head. If you take that into the New Testament meaning, you're my perspective. You're a shield about me. My glory, the lifter of my head. Everything that I see is you. Jesus. If we could ever get to the place to where we don't see our problem standing in front of us, but we see His perspective standing in front of us, do you understand how you could revolutionize your job? Do you understand how you could revolutionize your family when you begin to see it from His perspective? You're my perspective. You're my viewpoint. You're my opinion. It's based upon who you are. Because I believe your glory. Ooh, I feel this. Now watch this. The issue is that the church has become a church. Not that we don't want the glory, but that we only experience the glory seasonally. Just like you were talking about. That there have been past moves of God that have happened. And just like I said, that when it came from heaven, it had the DNA of the Holy Spirit all over it. And it started out as a mighty move. But I believe this with all of my heart. The first great awakening, the second great awakening, all of the great revivals that have happened, Asbury, the ones that happened with Finney, the ones that happened in Brownsville and Toronto, the ones that happened all over. I believe with all of my heart that they started with purity. And they started because people were willing to pay the price. The issue is that you cannot pay the price one time and expect for glory to continue. And so what we've come accustomed to is seasonal glory as opposed to consistent glory. What are you talking about? I'm talking about we have seasons of the glory of God, instead of walking in a consistency of the glory of God. And here's why. Because we can attain something by merit of God's grace, but there is a price to pay in order to sustain that thing that God gave you. Did you catch that? We can attain something by merit of the grace of God, but there is a price to be paid in order to sustain that move and to take it beyond the point that we are now. And what happens is when you encounter the real, real glory of God, you begin to realize that the price that was paid to obtain this is costly. And the reason that glory is not sustained is because of the price that has to be paid. Now we're shouting about the fact that the whole earth is filled with His glory. And we're shouting about the fact that He's a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. But can you shout when Paul writes that I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in me. Yeah. Can you shout when Paul says that the affliction is just a mere little thing I'm having to deal with, but it's working in me a far exceeding weight of glory? What are you saying? I'm saying that the trials and the suffering and the afflictions that I'm going through, they're shaping my perspective to look more like what the Father sees. This is why the system of government that the Israelites wanted never worked. Because God never intended for them to be governed by a system. He intended for them to be governed by a voice. And so when Saul was appointed king, God was appeasing the people who were crying out saying, I want a king, I want a king. And God said, I didn't intend for you to have a king. I'm your king. I intended for people to have relationship with me that would be able to pay the price to hear what I'm saying about the situation. But finally, he gives him a king. Watch this. Saul is crazy, loses his mind, starts going to see witches, because the enemy's tormenting him. God raises up who? David. Somebody who was in tune with God's heart. And so the restoration of the voice, the prophetic, begins to happen when David is anointed king. Watch this. And God said, in spite of the temple that Solomon builds that is greater than anything that we know today or then, despite the tabernacle that Moses built and the first place that I brought my presence, when I rebuild this thing, I'm going to rebuild David's tabernacle, because David understood that the most important thing in the tabernacle was not the seats, and the most important thing in the tabernacle was not the people, and the most important thing in the tabernacle was not the music program. And the most important thing in the tabernacle was not what man needed, but the most important thing in the tabernacle was that the blue flame was always burning, that the glory of God was consistent. And so even if he had to pay the price of suffering, if he had to pay the price of affliction, I'm thankful that the writer said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. Why? Because he gives people who are willing to pay a price, consistent glory, and it's consistent perspective of what God sees. I'm doing some preaching today. I hope you're getting this. I'll go buy my own CD. Glory is connected to suffering and affliction, according to Romans 8:18 and 2 Corinthians 4:17. But glory is more connected to consistency than it is anything else. And that's what God's been speaking for some time. It's not that we can't have his glory. It's that we can't sustain his glory. It's not that we don't want him to come. It's that we don't want to pay the price for him to stay. Ask any person in here, do you want the presence of God to meet us when we come together on Sunday? And unless they have lost their ever-loving mind, they're going to say, yes, I do. But then ask them, what did you do this week? What did you do this week to secure that the glory of the Lord would show up corporately and stay with us? God's looking for a people who are willing to daily pay the price. Pastor, is that biblical? I mean, that seems like an awful lot. I am so glad that you asked that question. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. If you don't have it, it should be up on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. What is it that a mirror does? It reflects. What does it say? That beholding, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, what? The reflection of the glory of the Lord is what I see, which the only way that I can see a reflection in a mirror is for me to look at it. Watch this. Now, I've taught you this before, that what we have had with people who have experienced God's glory are representatives who could represent what God was doing at one time. And I can represent Stephen right here because I can say, I saw him and he's got a striped shirt on and some khaki pants. Sharp looking fella. I'm telling you, I can represent him. Got his Bible, his highlighter out. He's doing good. But if he closes his Bible and changes his shirt, then the representation that I'm giving is no longer accurate. But if I am reflecting what he's doing, then even if he changes his shirt, I can see it. If he picks up his bag, I can see it. And wherever he goes, I'm going with him. Because, oh Jesus, I'm becoming his reflection. And I've got to pay the price to say, I'll lay my life down and my time down so that I can become the reflection of who he is. Do you understand that? And so God's not looking for some people who want to represent him, Brother Billy. He's looking for some people who want to reflect him and daily walk out what it is that he's doing now. And so we all, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image. What? From glory to glory, from trial to trial. No. From circumstance to circumstance. No. From glory to glory. What is that? I'm being transformed from God's perspective on this situation to the next situation. I still see God's perspective. And the next situation, I still see God's perspective. And God doesn't see me busted and disgusted. And God doesn't see me messed up. God sees a person that he poured his power into. God sees somebody when he looks at you, he sees an army. He sees a warrior who can go into the midst of the battle and declare, I've been made more than a conqueror. And I'm not just okay today. I'm going to be okay tomorrow because I'm going to pay the price to have God's perspective. Somebody ought to give God a praise right now. See, it was ultimately his glory that won the disciples over. Watch this. He manifested his glory and they believed him. I want my family to get saved. I've got the prescription. Pay the price to walk in his glory. I want my work to be transformed. I've got the prescription. Pay the price to stay in his glory. Why? There is nothing that you can do. There is no program that we can put together. There is no song that we can put fast enough. There is no prophecy that we can give you that will hit the nail on the head any more than if you and your life becomes a reflection of the glory of God. And that will only happen when you are willing to pay a price. I am sick to death of people who are shouting the house down on Sunday, but Monday look like they've been baptized in lemon juice. I'm over that. I'm so done with that. Sometimes they look like that when they walk into church. You know what I do? I'm not kidding you. If I see that happen, I go the other way. Because I'm not fixing to reflect the hell they're going through. I'm concerned with trying to reflect the glory that he's intended for my life. And at the end of the day, it has everything to do with being willing to pay the price. Pastor, I don't have the time that you have. That's a load of crap. I can't be any more real than that. I don't understand the scripture the way you understand it. You ain't paid the price that I paid. Can I just be real? There's mamas and daddies and grandmamas that know more and have forgotten more revelation than I'll ever know. And the key is that they were willing to pay the price. My 86-year-old grandfather can get on the phone and quote scripture after scripture after scripture. And it used to amaze me until I spent more time with him. And I saw that on his free time, he picks up his Bible and he begins to read it. And that whenever trials and circumstances came to his house, you could always find him in the basement, kneeled down. And he wouldn't be at lunch and he wouldn't be at dinner, because today he had committed himself to fasting. Today he had committed himself to pay the price, because his son was sick and he couldn't stand to see his baby boy laying in a bed sick. And I don't know how many times I'd go down there to see my daddy and I'd want to know where Papa was, and he'd be downstairs in the basement praying, God, heal my boy. But right after he'd say that, he'd say, God, save everybody everywhere. God, don't let my grandchildren, don't let them go to hell. He was willing to pay the price. Hour and a half a week is not enough for me. My kids are in a Christian school and come home talking to me about stuff that would make your grandmama blush. In a Christian school, hour and a half a week ain't enough for me. It's not enough for my kids. It's never an option. I don't know why I'm going there. But it's never an option as to whether or not they're coming to church. Well, you're just a little too hard on them. That's all right. My kids see visions. And my kids have dreams. And my kids are prayer warriors already. So you tell me how hard I am. That's okay. I'm not after your opinion anyway. I'm after his perspective. I'm not after man's perspective any longer. I'm after his perspective. I'm after his glory. Does anybody hear what I'm saying? I'm after his glory. And guess what? His glory is after you too. His glory is after you too. I declare over you that God's going to begin to wake you up in the middle of the night. And the problem that you thought was going to be your demise, he's going to begin to show you his perspective. And you're going to see what it is that God is seeing. And you're going to see your kids changing government. You're going to see your kids laying hands on the sick and watching them recover. You're going to see the things that God sees, because you learn to pay the price. Why do we talk on a weekly basis about the blood that Jesus shed? Because it was a price that he paid. I'm gonna start changing every meeting that I have. People come to me with problems and situations. First question I'm gonna ask them, Brother Spurley, is, did you pay the price? How many times when you were pastoring, people come to you and say, Brother Spurley, I need you to pray for my baby. I need you to pray for my husband. And you wanna ask them, have you prayed for him one time? Hello? Why is it that I have a greater connection with God than you do? I don't. He's no respecter of person. Do y'all catch what I'm saying? That's not a harsh word. That's a challenging word. To say, if you pay the price, I expect you to get revelation that I'll never get. I expect you to hear things. I have not done my job if the only time that you hear the voice of God is when I'm declaring something. I've not done my job. But if I can teach you that when you go home, that you can hear his voice, and that you won't reject his voice, because that's the next stage to paying the price, is hearing what he says and then doing what he says. I don't even have time to mess with that. Because there are people all the time that heard him but said, ah, that ain't going to work for me. You want me to get up how early? No, sir, Jesus. You want me to read how much today? No, sir, Jesus. You want me to write a check for how much? No, sir, Jesus. Not paying the price today. So it's not just about hearing him, it's about doing it. Does anybody in here want to live in his glory? Does anybody in here want to live in the perspective of what God sees? The weightiness, the kabod that is heavy, that is filling the earth, that is filling the earth. The glory of God that is permeating the earth. Is anybody willing to pay the price to inherit the glory and the perspective of God? Is anybody willing to pay the price? I want his glory. Come on, stand up all over this house. I want his glory. I want your glory. I want his glory, Jesus. I want to get calls in the middle of the week that say, Pastor Ryan, I need you to come down here. The glory of God has just hit this hospital, and there's people getting out, and they don't even have time to discharge them. Pastor Ryan, I need you to come to the store. People are laid out all over the floor because somebody paid the price to inherit the perspective of God. Listen, if his glory fills the earth, then everything I just said is possible. Everything I just said is possible. Will you pay the price? Will you pay the price? Are you willing to give up some treasures that are going to pass away anyway to pay the price? Are you willing to give up a little bit of time? Are you willing to give up a little bit of sleep? Listen, the alternative to fussing about getting up early is go to bed early. It's the alternative. You get the same amount of sleep. I can't. CSI's on. Y'all laugh, but you know what the problem is? People walk around with CSI's perspective. Jesus. Whew, do I have time to preach another hour right there? People walk around with MTV's perspective. Why? Because they paid the price to see what they thought. But if we'd ever pay the price to see what he thinks, if we'd ever pay the price to walk from glory to glory, there's more people in churches in America that can quote what Simon Cowell says than what Simon Peter says. Jesus, pastor better shut it down right now. Better come in for a landing. Y'all know what I'm telling you is the truth. You don't like it when I tell you the truth. Set you free. Jesus. The part that I hate about this message that I just preached is that I can't impart hunger to you. I can't make you drink from the well of living water. I can't make you do it. But if you can ever gain his perspective, if you can ever gain his perspective, it's working a far more exceeding weight of glory. The afflictions and the trials that you're going through right now, if you can gain his perspective, if you can gain his opinion and his view. You know what I've determined in myself? I've determined that the view of God is that Louisville is cancer-free. I've determined that in my heart. And so I'm going to pray that into existence, that cancer is not allowed to come into Louisville any longer. I'm telling you, I have not seen the manifestation yet. I just heard some of you in your mind right there say, oh, well, that's never going to happen. No, it's not for you. And I'm telling you, I've not seen the manifestation yet, but I declare by the perspective of God that Louisville's going to be cancer-free someday and that it's going to be the most saved city in America. And I'm going to do my part. I'm going to pay the price. Will you pay the price? Will you pay the price? If you're willing to join us, I want you to step out of your seat. I want you to come down here, and I want you to just begin to ask God. God, give me grace to pay the price. Give me strength to pay the price. He's going to use you. 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 I'm telling you, Derek, he's going to use you. He's going to use you. I just see over you. I see over you an Esther anointing, and I know that was a lady, but I'm telling you, I see it. You were brought back for such a time as this. Such a time as this, anointing is what you're going to begin to walk in. And every encounter that you have, it's going to be a divine appointment by God. I declare that over you in the name of Jesus. I declare it. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. God's going to use you. Those of you that stepped out and said, I'm willing to pay the price, He's going to use you. He's going to use you. He's going to use you. I want you to lift your hands right now and make yourself available. God, we just make ourselves available right now. We just make ourselves available to you right now. God, we just declare that this army is going to move forward. Come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice. Don't let what I'm saying dictate what you're saying and what your heart's saying. Come on, lift your voice right now. We're going to pay the price, Jesus. We're going to pay the price, Jesus. We want your perspective. We want your glory to be manifest. We want the opinion of the Holy Spirit on the situation to be manifest. I curse passivity in Jesus' name. I curse passivity in Jesus' name and rebuke it in the name of Jesus. No longer will we be passive. No longer will we be indifferent. No longer. No longer will we be indifferent. Holy Spirit of God, move by your power. Move by your power. Come on. Come on. He'll come if you'll ask him. He'll come if you'll ask him. If you're hungry, he'll come. If you'll put your hunger on display, he'll come. Yeah. Pay the price. Pay the price. Will you pay it? Will you pay the price? Jesus. God, I pray that you would reveal your people. Reveal to your people the grace that's extended to them. The mercy that's new every morning. Father, I just thank you today. Thank you for your word. I thank you for your love. Thank you for what you're doing. In spite of us, I thank you, Jesus. In spite of us, I thank you, Lord. Move, Jesus, by your power. Cause your face to shine on us, Jesus. Cause your face to shine on us, Jesus. 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 Thank you.
just see by the Holy Spirit that some of you under the sound of my voice, that you have it so worked out in your mind, the way that it's supposed to look and the way that it's supposed to go. And if it goes off course just a little bit, it derails you completely. And then when God sends a word like he sent today that challenges us to pay the price to gain his perspective, I just see that almost like in your mind and in your spirit that you just pull this curtain down and you don't let what God is saying penetrate that curtain. Because it can't be that, because it doesn't mix well with your feelings. And I just hear the words that Jesus spoke to Paul. How long will you kick against the goads? How long will you keep resisting what it is that God's wanting to do in your life? And so I just pray for that, whoever that word is for, that the Jesus that we sang about today, who has the ability to change leper spots, that he would also melt our heart of stone. And that our perception of you, God, would not be viewed through a heavy curtain, that your spirit is not penetrable, but that we would allow it to go to the very heart of our lives, so that we can fulfill the destiny and purpose that you have for us. And God, I understand what you have to do is you have to break down the intellect of some people. You've got to break down the rationale of some people. And so God, I just pray right now by the Holy Spirit that we would see you for who you are. And that our perception of you would be based out of relationship that we have with you. God, and that we would not give the appearance that we get our butt kicked by the devil every day. Wow. I just pray that we would not give the appearance that we get our butts kicked by the devil every day. I know that's plain. But you can't transform the culture if you walk around all the time looking like you just got your tail kicked. Jesus. God, give us your perspective. Let us pay the price for your perspective, I pray. In Jesus' name.